And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And now, if it's the fourth Tuesday of every month from 3 to 4, it is our real estate panel. And this is exciting because you guys have a year-end wrap. And, of course, in this corner, we have Terry Cass from Cass & Long Commercial Group. And in the opposite corner, sounds like a heavyweight belt, is Jan Long from Cass & Long Commercial Group. I said your name twice.
Wow. Thanks, David.
Cass & Long and Jan Long. What's going on? How are you guys?
Good.
And we still have our own Krista.
Carisha?
Yeah, Chris. I was thinking of Krispy Kreme. Krispy. We're going to call you Krispy Kreme.
Well, thank you. I am sweet.
Oh, there you go. So it's going to be a sweet real estate show today. So we go.
I just want to make an announcement to the we don't know who she is.
Yeah.
We don't know why she's here. And I am not taking any
grief.
No, any responsibility for anything this woman says.
Okay.
Matter. We heard she knows something about sports.
Yes.
And this is the real estate hour.
Well,
this
I was in the title and escrow business, and I was a mortgage broker for
oh,
years.
Oh.
There you go.
You didn't tell
I
me
know
that.
A little
right.
bit.
Yeah. How long ago was this?
My last, I ended it 5 years ago. I was in the commercial division.
Oh. Okay, you've been out of it for 5 years.
Yes.
We take no responsibility for anything this woman says.
Yes. Yep, but it is okay for you to give him grief.
Thank you.
Yeah. The views expressed on this program are not those of Terry Cass. Okay. So this is good. So you'll be our escrow person.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
The
there
referee.
The referee.
5 years ago.
That things
is
have
like
changed,
an eternity.
Right?
Are
wow,
things
that
changing?
Is.
Oh no!
So tell us what this is going to be our year-end wrap. So I guess we could start by asking, how was this year? Both
well, we
of
have
you?
New news to report today.
Oh, good. Yeah.
This has been an unbelievable fourth quarter.
It has.
It really has. Yeah, I think from the last show, we have had unbelievable cooperation from the banks. They are doing commercial loan mods. They are reducing loans. They are lending on properties.
Wow.
This has almost been unprecedented in our industry. It's a complete reversal of the last 8, 9, or 10 months.
So what happened?
I don't know what happened. All our owners are calling up banks, and they're talking to them. They're getting in contact with the decision makers. We have had owner after owner call us and saying they're reducing their loan, principal reductions, lowering interest rates. Basically, they're doing whatever they can to help our owners save their properties. We don't even have to deal with short sales or REOs anymore because these banks, it's unbelievable. Chad and I were taught, we didn't even know how to be able to tell you this, that this is going on. It's like we've had nothing.
I think you guys are kidding. This is not a surprise. This is a surprise. Is it really? This is
no, we're lying.
Okay.
Yeah. It is unbelievable.
We were going to try to use the first 15 minutes and see if I'll ever take you guys.
It didn't take me long, did it? Yeah. I used my NLP techniques, and I read your nonverbal. Yeah, because
I had you going there for
you
about
did.
A minute.
You did. For about 10 seconds. How about Krista? She was out. She was running
saying,
out.
Shaking
cow.
Her head, but I couldn't tell if she was.
No. I know a little bit about that, and that's just not going to happen.
No.
Wow. Surprise, surprise.
Every owner is losing their property,
yeah.
Short sales, REOs, foreclosures.
It's unbelievable.
Were you in on this, Jan?
Sort of, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So you were wondering, like, I bet you weren't in on it, and you go, wait, I'm missing out on all this action. Wow, yeah, I didn't think that would have a sudden change of heart with the banks, especially
no.
banks.
No. Well, there is actually a little good news.
What is
and
that?
I'm not lying about this.
Oh, we want to hear.
First of all, we are getting a little, I am getting properties done with some loans. I closed a deal last week with a lender on a regular commercial property, which is I think our group hasn't done that in a long time. I have another one in escrow with a local lender, U.S. Bank. It's being very cooperative and should close that deal in January.
So we're hopeful.
Yeah, that's two. I mean, usually I was doing residential, you know, fourplex
right.
loans, no problem. These are actual commercial, and they were no problems.
And I mean, what's the turnaround time?
30, 45 days.
Wow.
Yeah, actually
that's
reasonable.
That's really good.
That
yeah.
is good.
One, it was weird. It was a smaller deal, so they didn't need an appraisal because the loan amount was less than 150 or 200. And the other one, I have the appraisal set for this week. So a little bit.
A little bit of goodness.
A little bit. And Jan will probably go into it, but we're had a record amount of sales this year.
Wow. Oh,
actually,
you did.
Sales were up.
Well, the volume is up considerably. Yeah. Year in for 2010, we actually had 23,236 units sold in 213 apartment complexes. That's double last year, triple the year before.
Yeah.
So volume-wise, it's really good. The bad news is that the average price has dropped by half.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And maybe that's what drove the volume.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah,
Well, we've been touting it's a buyer's market, and it's
I've got some bad news for all those investors that have been hanging around, waiting till they hit bottom so that they can buy. By the time we actually hit bottom, we haven't actually hit bottom, but by the time we do hit bottom, there's not going to be any product for you.
Oh, so
it's going to be all gone.
Yeah, people are buying.
That makes sense, you know. And you guys have always said that on the show. It's like, don't wait. Why are people waiting? Because those who if you get it on the downslide and you don't wait, and with interest rates still pretty good, it doesn't make sense. Is that a frustrating thing for either one of you?
No,
when you have a buyer that, well, I'll just wait a few more months. I mean, let's start with Terry.
A ton of buyers, and none of them are buyers. None of them want to fire on a property. They're good properties. They just, I'm looking for a better deal or whatever. And I go, well, then you're not going to buy.
I mean, how much of a better deal can you get in this market?
Well, there's always a better deal, but if it's that great of a deal, they're never going to get at it.
Yeah, and it can't be that much different, that much better.
It's always apocryphal. You know, you've got that one classic thing that, I got such a huge bargain on this, and that's what drives a lot of the the real estate sales folks that are out there trying to sell you a system of buying real estate, Somewhere, somebody got a fabulous deal, and they want you to believe that everybody's going to get that fabulous deal. Doesn't work that way.
No, not at all. And that's got to be frustrating, though, for both of you.
I don't even work with many buyers. Buyers are liars.
I've heard that before.
Well, it's just out of most of my buyers, well, maybe one out of 10 or one out of 20 is legit. Most of them, they waste my time. They just they want information, and then you get them. You go, okay, here's the deal you want. Oh, well, I don't know, I'm not sure. Right. And we're like, I just put them on the side pile.
So how do you screen out buyers like that? I mean, who do you work with then, and how do you develop a list of who you work with? Is it a small number of people, or are you still take in new people that call you?
You know, I think you have to respect everybody as an individual, and it's impossible to tell right off the bat who's going to be, a really good buyer and who's going to just drag things along. So you go into the process and you figure out, you ask a certain number of questions and try to pin things down to the point where you can at least say, yeah, this guy's legitimate, and if he isn't, then you just don't spend any time on him.
Yeah, and that is that a skill, you think, as a broker?
We get them to try to play in our sandbox. Like Jan said, certain steps, and if they keep going, we know they're legit. And sooner or later, if they're not legit, they drop out. Like, call, all right, what are you looking for? And they give us their parameters, and then we send them properties that fit it, and then we see if they hone it down to properties. And then we see if they ask for information, and then we say, all right, if you're going to do a loan, have they called the lender and filled out an app? And then we go, okay, we got properties, come on in town and look around. And if they come in town, we see if they're serious about making offers and show us proof of funds and, whatever. And like I said, 9 out of 10 drop off, and then you find the one good one, and then you work with them. And Jan's, working with a lady right now. She's a buyer. She's bought in the past. That's a great buyer.
That's a good sign.
Jan has a good history with her. I have some buyers, not a lot. I'm mostly a listing guy, but I do have some buyers that I know have bought or that I know are good. But then a lot of those guys still want to wait for the deal of the century.
I think that's interesting for maybe brokers out there listening or wannabe brokers. So you said you're a listing guy and you work with buyers.
I started out working with buyers, basically.
Did.
And I really kind of enjoy it in some ways because you get a real look at the whole market instead of just being focused on one particular area. But, right now it's really not the place to be because the buyers are so squirrely right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the What would you say? The first thing they say is, I want a 10 cap, and then you know they aren't a real buyer.
Right. Oh, no, not only 10 cap. They want a Scottsdale location.
Yeah.
They want a brand-new built building, and they want a 10 to 12 cap rate.
On actual numbers.
On actual numbers. And I go, you're not even going to see that.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
Let alone it's if it gets to me, it's probably it's not that good, or it's not going to get out of here.
So how do you decide originally? Like, how is there an advantage being just a listing type of guy versus
a lister? I control the deal, and I also attract buyers that are calling on my listing to find out who the legitimate ones are.
Yeah, and so that's really what you do then.
Mainly I'm just – I have a lot of listings, and I'm getting a lot of calls. So I'm – it's better to be a listing agent than a buyer's agent. Because one, you control the deals, and two, you get to attract buyers, so you find out which ones are legit. It's the best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah. That's
if you're exclusively a buyer agent, it's a little tougher because then you got to deal with guys on the other end that are listers, and it's tough. I mean, if you have a good buyer, I mean, Jan can tell you, he's out there really looking over the money. It's tough to find a deal and let alone get it in contract.
Yeah.
I mean, how long have you been working with the one buyer and you haven't got anything in contract yet?
Yeah, I've made offers. Yeah, I've got a guy we've made like 8 offers on fourplexes, just fourplexes. Can't get one to go through. Yeah.
Really? Now,
good
that,
offers over full price. Yeah. He's not trying to be squirrely about it. It's just the process is so nuts that it becomes impossible to buy something.
Is it the appraisals and the banking situation? Is that what creates
in this bottleneck? In this case, it has to do with basically the banks. You've got, first of all, you have a property that's listed, and you don't even get to talk to a real estate agent because the banks have listed that, and they've handed it to a real estate agent who, the ones that I've attempted to deal with anyway, are basically just paper pushers, and they do everything by email. You're not allowed to call them.
Is that right?
You don't know if it's still available. I mean, you try to call because you want to waste your time. Half the time it's not available, but they haven't told
you. That's
got to
be really frustrating. Yeah.
Sure, you offer them more money than the property than another buyer. It doesn't guarantee you're going to get the property they get to pick and choose who they send on to the bank. It's not basic classic real estate. It's something else.
Yeah,
I got a great title for this show. Instead of real estate panel, we'll say, who wants to be a real estate broker? I mean, but you're positioning yourself nicely for the future because didn't the industry shake out a lot of brokers and agents? And those that are gone means a smaller group with maybe a larger base, and you're positioning yourself nicely. I like it strategically. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the real estate panel in studio, Terry Cass, Jan Long, and our own Krista Schmidt. And we'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is the Real Estate Panel starring Carrie Cass and Jan Long. And Krista Schmidt is so excited because we're doing a pre-recording tomorrow on the sports show. She's here early. Okay. So anyway, so Terry, you had me. That was, if anyone heard the first part of the show, you made it sound like, wow, everything is just rosy.
Yeah, I hope I didn't cause any crashes.
No. I think people are out there buying right now. So 2010. So let's talk a little bit more about 2010. So there is some good news, more sales, but the bad news may be half the price. Well, I guess it depends. It's not bad news for buyers.
No.
Great. I mean, that's actually incredible news. Has there ever been a better time from a worse time to buy real estate? I mean, it's so bad, it's great.
This is the single best time because you got low prices and low interest rates. We've never had that.
You remember
not
the 1980s?
Yeah.
That was, Krista, you're probably too young.
No, I know, like 10% interest rate.
It was more than that. I remember when I was at Kenneth Leventhal, a big real estate CPA firm, some of our developers and builders, 21% interest. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you even imagine if that happened now? I mean, that would be crazy, right?
Well, different times. I mean, 21%. If you're willing to pay 21% interest, you must be making some money on that property, right?
Yeah.
If you're paying 21% interest now, you know, it's not
you're
even
be
a,
making a 25% cap rate.
It's not even a thought.
Yeah,
it's not even a thought in the back of your head.
But different times, you're right.
But there are a lot of people buying with hard money that are paying 15% to 18% and still making it.
Well, they're probably buying for obviously the potential and the appreciation. They're probably buying so low, right?
Right.
That they have the built-in potential there. You know, maybe what? Maybe 4 or 5 years or maybe longer than that.
Sure, and it wouldn't be your normal loan where you take out 80% or 75%. It's more like you're taking a loan on 30% as opposed to. Then you're paying that higher interest rate, and you've also got typically a short turnaround and getting some cash flow going before you're willing to do that. Either that or you've got somebody lined up to flip this property to.
Yeah. Is that, you see a lot of flips?
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of that, yeah. Actually.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, because it would seem to me like in this economy it'd be hard to flip something. I mean, it's not going to
had a sale where, let's see, the guy bought it at the trustee sale for $11,000 a door. He sold it to a buyer for $10,000 a door, but she had an option that she had to pay him no matter what she bought it for. He still made it. She had to pay him like $100,000 over what he paid, and she flipped it to another buyer for $15,000 a door, all within a 30-day period.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird.
That is pretty
that's unheard of.
Yeah, I just read it in the Brew, which is the Business Real Estate Report, and I didn't quite understand it, but the guy that bought it still put it in there, you know, I'll sell it to you at this price, but if you get this, I want at least the profit on what I bought it for.
So we're starting a marketing campaign. So if anybody out there wants to send us about $2,000, we're going to show you just how to do this. I'm sure you can do this sale. Exact same sale over and over and over again in this market.
The views expressed on this program are Jan Long.
No, that's a legit. It was in the front page of the Brew this week,
I like that.
Far from the norm.
Yeah.
The Brew. That reminds me of not a publication, but a pub.
I was just going to say, let's go eat.
Yeah, let's go drink.
Who is this woman? And why is she on my show?
This is Krista. Krista, meet Terry. Okay, so where were we? 2010. So what else do we have?
So as Jan was saying, we had an unbelievable amount of sales, but because prices are down, we did a report. We had a record year for the amount of units sold. But commission-wise, we probably made 20 to 30% of the same commission as in our banner year for the same amount.
Say that.
They went down that much.
That's difficult. And there's no wonder, perhaps, why residential commercial realtors have left the industry, because you're probably doing at least the same amount of work, probably more work, for half the potential commissions.
Now we have to get the bank. We have to do all the work to get the bank to sell it.
Ah.
So you got to get the seller and the buyer to do the same thing, and then we got to convince the bank to sell it, and then they send back a demand letter with all of these things you have to do on top of the normal stuff.
Oh, man.
I'm in the middle of one right now, and the bank basically said, well, we'll do the short sale only if you agree to these 8 terms on top of everything else I had to do.
Really?
And then they said, if you don't close by this date, we're taking the property back. Yeah, wow. That was it. So I had to do, if I didn't get it done by, it was a cash deal, which will get it done. But, you know, and they're still going after the seller for deficiency. She still has to pay them off to get them not to go after the huge deficiency.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, this poor lady, I mean, she's still a substantial amount of money.
It's tough out there. It's like, remember the movie The Perfect Storm?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Who was that? That was...
Clooney.
Who? Yeah, George Clooney. That's right. Yeah. Wow. It sounds like The Perfect Storm or The Imperfect Storm.
But in terms of finishing, we're having the best month we've ever had all year.
Oh.
I think we've had more closings this month, December, than we've had in any other month. And it might be, if you add most of the other months together, we might be close to closing as many deals in December.
Is that right? Now, why is that? Is there something about the year end? People want to wrap up. They have a budget. They want to accomplish certain things by the end of this year. Is that what it is or something else?
Actually, I suspect it's the banks want to close things up by the end of the year, where they wouldn't work with you at the beginning of the year. Now they want some things off their books.
They want them off their books.
Ah, and you're also watching them shove things off till next year. So you'll go to the trustee sales, and you'll see everything's been postponed till January now because they don't want it on this year's books. Yeah. So I think you're probably a better person to speak to that, Dave, than we are.
You're probably right. It has to probably do with how to, you know, writing off loans, maybe some tax issues.
We had banks. Right. We had a lot of deals saying it's got to close by this day. It's got to, and you were in escrow. Mm-hmm. Our escrow officer, who we work with a lot, who Terry Ann, I'm going to get on. Yeah. She almost had a nervous breakdown. I mean, we were getting such demands from the banks. It's got to close. You know, we had a rash of one that had to close before Christmas, and now we've got a raft of them that have to close by the end of the year, or else. In the bank, meaning or else, you don't close, we take the property and you don't get to sell it.
That's
so
a lot
how,
of pressure.
How do you accomplish it? That is a
well,
lot of
we're
pressure.
Doing it. I mean, they're cash deals.
Yeah.
That's the only way
That's
we're doing it.
That's the only way. Yeah,
we can't. Oh, a lender? No. I mean, my only deal that I got in escrow that's with a lender right now, it got postponed by weeks.
Oh.
But I got some good. I thought the appraisal wasn't going to be for 2 weeks. It's in 2 days, which is going to be
That's a great
helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a call out of the blue today.
The appraisal in 2 days?
Well, the banker told me this morning he didn't know when the appraisal would be, but he thought in 2 weeks. Then the other agent for the buyer called me and said the appraiser called me Thursday. I'm like, great. And I got it done.
Get
it done. So, but it's just they just wanted them, and they had all this stuff on. They weren't working with us, and then all of a sudden we were all doing deals, and they said, "Okay, we'll get you can do it, but we want it closed on this date, and we'll take this offer."
Yeah, I don't know if you were aware, but they changed the appraisal rules in 2009. And that screws up everything because now the bankers can't talk to the appraisers.
I heard about that. Linda Hall was telling us.
And we can't talk to them.
We can't talk to the appraisers. The appraisers are basically floating around out there on a minimal amount of information and making God knows what choices. I don't know what you're using for an appraisal now. I mean,
they generally call us.
Insane.
I get calls from appraisers a couple times a week.
But they're not supposed to discuss the
appraisal. Well, what they do is they call me on another deal, and they ask me what's my opinion of that deal, but they can't call me on the deal I'm working with.
Oh, but that other deal is very similar.
Yeah, I got a call on a guy yesterday was asking me, he's doing an appraisal, and he wanted my, because he knows we're specialists in the smaller type apartments.
Oh,
we got a good reputation out there for under 50 units. He called me and said, "You guys were the guys I need to call." And he asked me about an old listing I sold and what's my opinion on this building. And I gave it to him.
So why is that? They changed the law. Do you guys know why they changed?
Because I think there was some controversy.
They felt that there was the appraisers were colluding with the banks, and that drove up the prices. That the banks were telling the appraiser, you know, we need to have this price out of you, and the appraisers were tweaking things to get those prices. I think that may have happened
occasionally.
Yeah.
But that's not what caused the problems.
No, not at all.
Problems were caused elsewhere. And that was one of the ways they chose to really clamp down, you know, and make sure that that none of these shenanigans happen again, because they aren't a big bank.
So by clamping down how does that work then? Does that create more problems? Do you lose deals because of that?
Sometimes. I personally haven't had any problems with appraisals. Maybe I'm lucky. I don't know. I haven't had any deals crash because of an appraisal.
Yeah, but you weren't dealing with any banks anymore. You're dealing with people that have cash, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, a couple of them. I mean, on the fourplexes or a couple loans, they all appraised. And like I said, they didn't even require one on the smaller one. They just needed a value estimate. But again, the deals were pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I think they were fair priced. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes a difference. But yeah, the appraisers are kind of between a rock and a hard place. I'm glad I'm not an appraiser now.
That's tough.
And all of those, you know, they spent years and years developing a rapport with the banks and with the agents, and now they can't talk to either one. You know, they just get a sheet of paper in the mail that says, oh, you're the appraiser for this one.
It would be
don't talk to us, just send us some information.
It'd be like getting married and then a law comes out saying you can't talk to your spouse anymore.
Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, wait a minute. we're onto something here. Maybe that's what happens anyway. Okay, so I like that. So when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion on this. And then you want to go into 2011 and see what the prospects are. I have a report from Elliot Pollack. You know him. He was on our show. And he's thinking like it's still another 4 years away until it fully comes back. But when it comes back, Arizona, they say, is going to be in great shape. You guys are in the right industry at the right time, or maybe the wrong time, but in the future, it'll be the right time. We'll be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Bob Lee with Savings Society. What if there's a way you could join our club and save up to 50% off and sometimes 60% off your prescription medicines, your airline tickets, your food bill, even your gasoline bill? Give us a call here at Savings Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151. We're making people wealthy. Thank you.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the real estate panel starring Terry Cass and Jan Long. And our own Krista Schmidt is here. Like I said, you were so excited.
I came early.
Yeah, we're going to
pitch in a tent.
Like 24 hours early. But anyway, but you know your escrow. I mean, you had some experience with escrow
title.
So you're following
funding.
What's going on here. This is good.
Yep.
And we almost believed Terry in the beginning that things were turning around. So the residential market, you guys mainly do commercial, but I know you probably keep the pulse on that too, because there's probably some type of relationship there.
Well, there's usually commercial follows residential by a year or two. So,
but you say during the break, you said the residential market's still crashing.
Yeah, well, they're looking for a double dip. Actually, we're in a double dip. A double dip's defined as if we go below the prior low. So we were going up, and our average house price, I'm not a residential guy, was like 134, I think we reached. We hit a low of like 117, and then we went up to 134. I think we're at 118 now.
So they think it may drop.
Yeah, since April, when they took away the tax incentive, things have gone down. If the average value goes below the low, which I think is 117, then that will be considered a double dip.
So the tax incentive was just a temporary relief, and really maybe a false one, because you know it maybe drove some prices up, evidently. And then if you bought then and now it's crashing again, I don't know if the tax offset will be would be worth it. But Jana, have you had any experience? Do you have your pulse on that?
I don't know if I can say I have a pulse on it. I know there are an awful lot of homes out there that the banks owned, took back, and they're just sitting empty. You got a lot of homes out there where the buyers are underwater and getting ready to short sale. And you have an awful lot of homes that have been foreclosed on or are almost foreclosed on, where people have stopped paying and haven't paid for, you know, 2 months, 6 months, 2 years in some cases.
I've heard of that. That's incredible.
So that's kind of a hidden stimulus plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you can live in your home for free for a year and a half, 2 years, you know, what's that worth to you? $20,000, $30,000?
Oh,
depends
be.
On your home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's an awful lot of homes that have yet to go on the market, and those, I suppose they're going to try to clear them out this next year, and they may have put off a bunch of that until January. I don't know.
And is that the shadow inventory people talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is, if you think about it, if people lose their homes, they got to rent. So values are going down, which is actually a good time to buy, but rentals are strong.
Okay.
Because people, when they lose a house, they rent a house or they rent an apartment. So actually, even though prices are going down, because if you can buy something cheap, you can rent it cheap and keep it rented, your vacancy is lower if you're priced right. And people are buying homes and apartments, renovating them, offering a cheaper rent, better product, getting people to rent them. But it's going to cause the rock to keep going. But you know, we were going to talk about 211. I think 211 will be the biggest bloodbath we have. More homes and commercial of all types going down this year, foreclosed upon, short sale. But I think there'll be so many that we might clean up a good sizable amount of inventory. And you were going to mention Elliott Pollock. You know, we're not going to grow, but I think maybe we'll get close to the bottom after this year. And maybe see it in, you know, the next year, and then stable, and then start to eke up, and then hit where he set.
I don't know, Terry. I'm looking at this. You know, we had all these investors come in and buy homes in the valley, and that drove up our prices, and they got a huge amount of the blame for the bubble, the real estate bubble in this area. Well, all of those investors are gone. Their houses are sitting on the market, and other investors are back buying those houses at, you know, a third to a half of what the other investors had bought them for and turned them back to the bank. Well, you still got tons and tons of homes now that are being bought and owned by investors who are renting them out. It's like a vicious cycle to me. I mean, you have to have people coming in here that are actually willing to stay long enough to buy a home and to keep renting and renting like that. I mean, to keep that investment thing going, I don't quite understand how that impacts everything, but it worries me.
Well, that's what Elliot was saying on our show, is that part of the contributing factors was less population, you know, people not coming into the state.
Because they can't sell their home anywhere else.
Yeah, and that was a big problem. And additionally is the unemployment rate out here in Arizona. Right now I have some stats. Arizona number 47 as far as out of all the states in unemployment, and that's pretty big.
The worst.
Yeah.
So we're okay.
Mm-hmm. At the bottom, and
with the bottom. That's,
yeah, and okay. And that's just and that was compared to current job versus the peak market. I think in 2005, I think it was, but there are some states that are recovering now. Like North Dakota, but I don't know who wants to live there. Alaska,
cold.
Not at all. It's good to go on a cruise there, I suspect. South Dakota, New Hampshire. I mean, it's all cold out there. But Elliott Pollock did say something interesting. I'm going to throw this out. And of course, those who don't know him, he's quite a well-known economist and a real estate consultant.
Yeah,
he's very,
very
good. I liked him on the show. We're going to probably get him back. But he did say when it comes back, you know, in probably about 4 years, that the prices could double almost immediately. He really felt that around 2014 or so, maybe 15, the residential market, I don't think he's talked that much about the commercial market, but he said the residential market could just come back with a real bang. Does that make sense? I mean,
well, it goes to what we said all along. You know, we were at an artificial high.
Yeah.
Now we're at a very artificial low.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's going to settle someplace in between.
Yeah. So, but he said the states, of course, it's not surprising. We're 47. Number 48 on this unemployment deal is Florida. Number 49,
Nevada,
right. And California, 45. The four states that really took a beating in the housing market. And number 50, poor number 50. What is number 50?
Starts with an M.
Yes. How did you know?
Michigan.
Oh, Michigan, right.
Oh,
sorry.
Man.
You're right. Yeah,
I mean, they've taken a huge beating, right? So, you know, but those other states will come back, too, more than likely, so in about 4 years. So, but it is a good time to position. So what would you tell a buyer now? I mean, what's some of the things you tell buyers?
Well, I'm real active in buying and buyers, putting partnerships together, fourplexes. We're actually going to probably graduate up from fourplexes and get into smaller complexes, 10 to maybe 30 units. Partner of mine, we're shifting for next year, and I'm talking to a office guy about doing some partnerships and investing in distressed small office.
Really?
And, you know, where I bring the partner in, but we do the work, buying, stable, rehabbing, and renting. And I'm going to maybe try to get into small retail. Yeah, I mean, those are the markets. I mean, multifamily is actually doing the best out of the four categories. I think it's multifamily, industrial, office, and retail centers. So you want to be getting, you know, retail and office when it comes back. Your job creation,
yeah,
it's going to be some good money. I used to be involved in office, so I like it.
So it makes sense. So you're saying there's incredible opportunities still.
Right.
It's just a matter of what you see. A lot of people look at the doom and gloom.
Yeah.
But if you can look past it and look a little bit long-term versus short-term versus through fear, versus through panic, and really see what's happening about 4 years from now, it's a great opportunity. And those are the buyers that you're attracting or the investors?
Yeah. I mean, I go to California a lot and do seminars out there. What I'm trying to sell them, the biggest problem I have is they get all negative news. Everybody hates Arizona. So all they do is send out actually false news. They don't print real, like, remember the immigration issue?
They
really didn't report that correctly. Everybody thought it was Arizona putting this terrible immigration. And nobody, you know, in California, they never, all these people I talked to didn't realize that was a federal law that we were going to enforce. They were told by the newspapers that that was a law that Arizona put together against illegal aliens. Well, that's not true. And they misunderstood it and stuff like that. And that the rental market's terrible here. And I go, well, it's not terrible. Our vacancy is really not that. They think it's 50%. Well, it's really 12.
Oh.
Or I mean, published ASU, what is it, 12, 11 or 12?
Yeah, 12.7,
pretty low.
Was,
but that, you know, I
average
go to,
across the board.
I
is
go to Northern
right?
Cal, they think it's 50% because that's what California newspapers publish.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I literally have to show them by proof, like, here's all the stuff I'm involved in. And then what I'm selling to them is, hey, you know, we'll do all the work for you. You know, we'll put the partnership together. They don't want to do it. They don't want to handle renting and rehabbing and, you know, what distressed issues. So we'll do it. You know, you bring in, you know, be our partner and we'll set up a partnership. We'll do it all and then we'll just send you checks. And over the last year, that's what we've been doing. I've been involved in about 25 partnerships with fourplexes and it's been working out good, and we've been sending the checks, and we've been keeping them rented, and everything is we're buying them, rehabbing them, stabilizing them, renting them, and then we're cash flowing, I don't know, 10 to 15% a year, and they love it. And they don't get calls. They don't have to do anything. We do the management. So there really is no problem so far. I'm not saying there can't be. So that's what I'm doing.
So part of the skill sets, what I'm hearing, is an educational process for the misinformation that's out there.
California gets a lot of misinformation in Arizona. So is the whole country, actually.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, they like to beat up on us, at least from what I found out in California.
Yeah.
And the East Coast a little bit. But we don't get much business out of the East Coast. Florida does.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Canada?
Canada, yeah.
Big.
A lot of Canadians are in there, right?
Yeah.
They seem to be a little more open or... They flood in when the dollar ratio to the Canadian dollar is good, and then we don't hear from them and when it's bad, and then they come flooding over again when it's good.
Or they come over just to take our hockey team.
Maybe.
That's Jim
Buselli. They come flooding over in the winter mostly. Because
snowbirds. Yeah. Weather.
They want to buy condos, and then they want to invest.
Yeah. It makes sense. This seems like the place to be. I mean, I think the California market, for some reason, I don't think it's really dropped as much as the Arizona market. Why is that? I think
just the abundance of money and jobs, and it's just not a lot, lack of inventory.
But don't you think that's the false high, too, right now, California? I mean, it's crazy prices. I mean, absolutely insane. You can, 1,000 square foot house? I mean, you're talking like $500,000? I mean, that's ridiculous.
You can buy a 4,000 square foot out here for that.
It always astonished me. I remember I had a client, he said, well, Dave, my house is worth 1.2, and I'm sure it's going to drop to $1 million soon. And he said, should I sell it? I go, well, I said, I don't know. Talk to a broker. He said, he is a broker. I go, yeah, that's right. I said, talk to an attorney. He said, he is attorney. He was an attorney broker. I said, well, talk to the board of realtors or something. And he decided to sell it. And hopes to, cash out and then wait when things dropped and then come back into the market and buy. You probably hear it all the time.
Yeah.
His house went up $200,000.
Wow. Really?
It astonished me, too. I said, well, who'd you talk to? But no, do you see that a lot? I mean, it's craziness, right?
Well, you hear all sorts of things, both sides of that coin, the ones that drop and the ones that go up. And you make the right decision at the right time. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But... for your guy who's a realtor, he probably bought his house for $800,000.
Oh, he still made a bunch of money. Yeah, he bought it really
low. So we go back to your basic investing strategy. You set a price. When you get there, you sell the thing, and then you take your money and put it someplace else. If you follow that strategy, you're never going to get burned very badly.
It's when you get emotional and greedy, right?
It's when you decide to get greedy.
Yeah.
What is it Scott says? Hogs get slaughtered and
pigs get fat. Hogs get slaughtered.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Hogs get slaughtered.
I like that. I remember he said that at your seminar. That's right. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the real estate panel, starring Terry Cass and Jan Long, and we have, of course, in studio Krista. We name you Krispy Kreme. Oh, I don't know. I just made that up. And we'll be right back.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Real Estate Panel starring Terry Cass and Jan Long and our own Krista. Oh, that's how I said it. I usually go, Krista. Okay. I don't know what it means. It just sounds good. Anyway, we're talking real estate, and I think this is interesting. And some of the points that I find disturbing and interesting at the same time, that it seems the consensus is the real estate market is not going to be good. The residential real estate market will not be good in 2011.
No.
So price, you said there might be a double dip. It's getting really close. And if there's that much inventory out there and that many foreclosures, I suspect, it's going to drive prices down again. So it's going to be good for someone, though. People that buy low.
It's good for the buyers.
Yeah.
It's going to attract a lot of people from out of state that were thinking about moving here if they can sell their homes in another state.
Yeah, which is always the problem.
I mean,
yeah.
I think you're going to have large investor groups. I think you're going to see groups of 100, maybe thousands of homes being bought by companies.
Yeah.
To try to keep them off the market. You know, these Fannie Mae, they don't want to flood the market. So I think they're going to, off the market, sell to some big corporate, and then they'll buy them and rehab them and whatever and sell them off slowly. And that way you won't have all low comps. That's what we're going to see. Because there's so many being held back. We've heard rumors to that. They're called tranches, you know, groups of real estate. That's what got us in trouble with the mortgage-backed securities, but selling the loans. But I think you're going to have these tranches being offered by Fannie Mae or banks to maybe somebody that, you know, some home company that's nationwide and can buy maybe 10,000 homes all over the United States, take them off that bank, and then slowly sell them off as the market turns around.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, we've seen a little of that. Very hard to get into that because you got to be able to buy 10,000 homes. And I'm sorry, I'm not into that market. Yeah. But I've heard that they're, you know, these offerings are out there.
Tranches. What does that mean? Is that even in the dictionary?
Yeah, it's a group of now. Real estate. Yeah, a lot of the I haven't been able to get access to it, but it's supposedly it's going on there where like Fannie Mae, who guaranteed all the loans, taking back tons of properties. So they'll go out and bundle all these properties together from maybe all over the country, all different stuff, every kind of loan you could think of.
It's kind of like a big bucket. You've got nice homes in there, and then you've got total slums in there, too.
Oh.
And you buy the whole bucket.
Yeah.
That's why it's
called. And it's an investor.
Yeah, but these are hundreds of millions of dollar groupings. You might have retail, office, homes, multifamily, industrial, leases on tractors, everything. And then these guys buy them, and then they'll sell off what they don't want, and then they'll keep what they do want. But you got to be a player, and you got to be able to have the ability to evaluate everything in there and make sure that you have more good than bad.
Yeah.
And then you sell off the bad, and that's where maybe we'll get it. It'll hit the street on the bad stuff. We'll never see the good stuff.
Wow, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that tranches.
Yeah, I've heard of them, and I've tried to go after them. I've never been successful.
And is it usually a small group of large?
No, it can be small groups to half $1 billion worth of properties.
Yeah.
When the government sells, they tend to try to sell off as much as possible, and they're bad at it, and they lose a ton of money. But the people buying it do real well.
Well, that makes sense. Now, you were talking, Terry, about putting groups together. Is that what you're doing now, putting groups together? And that seems smart.
Not a group, just an individual with, you know, somebody that can handle the purchase and the rehab and everything.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
With other investors in state and out of state.
But that seems the way to go now. You can spread your risk around and come up with less cash if you have a group of people putting cash in.
It's not a group. That's a security. It's usually just one person. But what we, you know, the good thing is the investor doesn't have to do anything. The bad thing is they don't get all the profits, so it's a little hard sometimes because, hey, you only get 50%. Well, they go, we want to own it. I go, well, if you want to own it, you get the headaches too.
Yeah.
So when the pipes break, they're going to call you. On our deal, the pipes break, they call us, and you pretty much get your money, you know. Now,
there is a trust issue there, though.
Yeah, there is. And I don't sell them all. I probably sell one out of five.
Okay.
But I've been successful with all the ones I have sold, and since I now have a track record, it's getting easier. Because when I was beginning, I didn't have a track record. Well, now I got, I got 25 of them, and here's 20 referrals, and here's ones that I've sold for them and made money, and everybody, now I've got a track record, and they can talk to me. Go, okay, we want to do it with you now.
So
actually, I have limited product to do it with.
I got you. So it's more expanded, pretty much. I mean, it's not just as a broker buying, selling, adios. No. It's more of a team effort, providing a lot more services is what you're saying.
Yeah, sure. That's at least the way I'm going. Now, Jan, you know, might just represent a buyer and find a product and put a management company in the normal deal and walk away.
So do you do any of that also, Terry? I mean, Jan?
I haven't been very involved in that, no.
No? No. But do you see more and more brokers going that way, getting maybe creative?
Not a lot of them.
No?
A couple I know that are doing it.
We're seeing a pretty good mix of them. Actually, I know some brokers that started out doing that and have done it their whole career. They just have stayed small, and they're doing quite well and always have.
Oh.
So, you know, it's kind of a, for them at least, it was a career choice, and now it may be more of a survival technique.
Yeah. Is that what it is? It's just a strategy during this particular market.
Well, I explained it before. What I'm doing is a partner and I go in, and let's say there's a fourplex for sale, and we know we can get a good deal, but it's got to be cash, as is, where is, no inspection, whatever. But we'll get a phenomenal deal. So we'll go into the agent, and I'll go, right, you can keep both sides of the commission. We want this deal. Here's our offer. Well, he's happy. He's getting both sides of the commission. We're getting a good deal. You know, we go to the bank in a short sale and offer them cash, no due diligence. You give us the okay, we'll close. We buy it. It's distressed. It's empty, boarded up. We go in and rehab it, you know, and then we find a partner, and they bring in the money and the rehab money. We go, all right, we'll do, you know, here's what it is. We show them a return, a proven return, and an upside, either a flip upside or a long-term upside, and get them in, and then we either hold it or flip it, and I've been successful at it.
There are a lot more pieces in that puzzle, though. I mean, you're working. Terry spends a fair amount of time during the day on the phone, and bouncing around here and there.
So it actually
trying to work that.
It creates more, a lot more time constraints or time on your part, I suspect.
Right, and after I sell it, I'm still involved. You know, they want updates, what's going on, and questions about the financials, and I'm like, okay, you know, because I'm still involved, and sometimes I'll take a small partnership, ownership.
Oh, okay.
So that's nice, so I'm involved in it. Yeah, it's working out pretty nice for me. But then I do the normal deals, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I still get a lot of those deals, too.
So you really expanded your menu of what you can do, which makes sense. I think in today's economy, no matter what industry, I really believe that people need to upgrade their skills and think differently, no matter what industry, because it's not just the real estate industry that's had some issues, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look across the board and people are having issues, but, you know, it's really from a mindset also. And I think people who really think above their own self-imposed limitations will do very well despite the economy, but most people won't. Is that what you see too?
Yeah. Like I said, I just found a niche and nobody was really doing it and exploited it and did well.
I think there's a book deal here. Who's your manager? Okay. Hey, we're all raising our hands. What's going on here?
Don't bring up the book class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're both in it.
Yeah. And you're doing great. I predict you're both going to get that book knocked out. So, anyway, we only have like a minute or two left. Terry and then Jan, give out your contact information.
Terry Cass, Castellon Commercial Group. Phone number is 602-703-5277. And email is terry@klcomgroup.com.
And Mr. Jan.
And Jan Long with the Cast and Long Commercial Group. 602-432-9882. Email address is jan@klcomgroup.com.
You must know each other. What's going on
We
here?
We met.
Yes. And well, thank you both again. You're both awesome. And I think this was a really interesting show in that it showed creativity on both your parts.
The next show we'll have all the final numbers for
2010.
Yeah, and then we'll be able to show those on that next show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. That'll be next month. Yeah. And Krista, thank you for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome. And everyone have a great day. And we'll be back Friday for the sports show. And Terry, I'm going to convert you.
I want to be a guest on the sports show and do what Krista does
on
the real estate
show. Hey, that would be good. We're going to have you on.
I know my sports.
Yeah. He knows. Sit there and go.
He knows less about sports
than
you do about real estate.